ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين قاتله ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, how to treat a Muslim lady. Right, we're going to take a look at some of the ayat of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of the ahadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. And we're going to leave the imagination to the brothers and the sisters, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 228, and this is part of the verse, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلْرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and they, the women, the wives, they have equal they have equal rights for them as they have against them, and the men are above them in a level. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the women, they have rights for them, that we be kind to them just as they have rights against them, for lack of better words. That which is against them is that they have to be obedient to their husband. This is the right of the husband. But the sister, she has the right that the husband is kind to her and is nice to her. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this verse. And when Allah says, and the men are a level above the women should be even more happier with this statement, because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the statement from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 34, where Allah says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, that the men are the providers and the maintainers of the women. This is the level above the women, that we have the equal rights to one another, in the sense that the lady, she must fulfill her husband's manly desires and must obey his every command, and to keep everyone out of his house that he wants out. And she gets for that kind treatment and living with her and kindness by clothing her and feeding her and sheltering her, and then providing and protecting her on top of that. And this is where the men are a degree above the women, because they provide. And we hope tonight, inshallah ta'ala, was an example how the men are above the women by not allowing the women to buy their own dinners and to be kind and generous to them and to buy the gifts that we brought for them. And this is working by the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they have rights for themselves too. And that is this kind treatment. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had given an explanation as he said, إني أحب أن أتزين لامرأتي كما أحب أن تتزين لي. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said that when the women have the rights for themselves, he said, just as I like to look nice for my wife, I love her to look nice for me. And here Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was just showing this kind treatment of the man, that he wants to look handsome for his wife, so that she can look beautiful for him. And here we're just looking at the narrations. And then it's on the men and the women to be imaginative or creative or whatever after that. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the Salaf, when they spoke of this deen, they used to speak of it in nice terms and in general enough terms to give us enough ideas to go for it in the halal manner after that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 7, لِيُنْفِقَ ذُو سَاعَةٍ مِّن سَاعَتِهِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهِ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا وَسَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, let the rich man provide for his wife like he's rich. Let the rich man provide for his wife like he's rich. And remind me to give the rich men, inshallah, a statement at the end of the lecture, inshallah ta'ala. And let the poor man provide for his wife like he's poor. And Allah doesn't burden a soul except that he has the ability to bear it. And Allah would make ease after the time of difficulty. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the men to provide for the women, to spend their wealth on the women. And this is a part of how a man, how a Muslim lady is supposed to be treated. She's supposed to have her husband's wealth spent on her. And this is the duty of the men to spend their wealth on their wives. And this is the way we're supposed to treat our Muslim wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَرِثُوا النِّسَاءَ قَرْهًا وَلَا تَعْضُلُوهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْضِ مَا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَعَسَى أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, it is not permissible for you to inherit the women. And this used to be in the days of ignorance, when a man's brother dies, and he leaves behind his wife, then the other brother automatically inherits that wife without having to marry her. This used to be in the days of Jahiliyyah, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat and perfected His deen, where it's not permissible for the people to inherit. And I think I had mentioned before that one day when me and one of the brothers, we were reviewing the Quran, and I was reading from Surah An-Nisa, and when I got to this ayat, the brother said, wait a minute, Subhanallah al-Azim. We still inherit the wives today. And Islam had only been in this brother's generation. He's from Liberia. They've only been in Islam for about 100 years or so. So you can imagine Jahiliyyah and how the people inherit the wives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made this permissible. And this is just a statement to show that the women, they have a say-so in who they marry to. The women, they have a say-so in who they marry, and it's not for the men to force themselves on the women and to do with them any way they like, except kindness, as we saw in the other verses and as we'll see in the verses to come, inshallah ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not be harsh with them, or do not make it uncomfortable for them or uneasy for them, so that you could take back what you have given them. You give them the mahr, and then afterwards you want to dog them out, so they have to get a khulr to give you the dowry back, and then you take that and then you go give it to another lady that you want to marry. This is prohibited in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram for us to treat the women harshly, to make it uncomfortable for them, to make it uneasy for them, to make it unbearable for them. Any way you want to think of something in a bad light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this haram for us concerning our wives. Except that they do a fahisha to mubayyina. Except that the women transgress the bounds by committing fornication or something just going too far. In that case then it's different. But we don't have those cases among our Muslim women, walhamdulillah. So we don't have to worry about this exception. We have to make it okay for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I command you to treat them in kindness, with kindness. I command you to treat them with kindness. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prohibiting us from treating them harshly, and then He's commanding us to treat them kindly. And it's like if we treat them harshly, it's like a double sin. As some of the ulama, they used to mention in some of the verdicts in Islam, they call it a double sin. One sin, you get punished twice for it. This is because if you treat her harsh, you get the sin of treating her harsh, and you get the sin of disobedience for not treating her kindly. All in one go. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that we have to treat our wives kindly, and we have to stay away from being harsh to them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you dislike them, then maybe you dislike a thing that there is good in it. Maybe you dislike a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put good in it. So sometimes, and this is for the brothers who are hasty, when they get married, they think that they have problems. And the problem is always that the sister isn't okay. Maybe you dislike something that's good for you. And the men, we need to take this into consideration, and for a surety, the one who takes this into consideration, he won't be so hard on his wife. Because maybe he will be saying, when I think that something's wrong with her, maybe it's something wrong with me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some good in that sister, and I don't even know it. So he goes back to check himself, and to double check, and always to look at himself to make sure he's taking care of business. And this is an encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the brothers to treat their wives kindly. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had ended this verse off with the statement that we had just mentioned. And Allah had put a lot of good, not just good in her, but a lot of good. So we may be hating something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a lot of good in, and I don't think that we need much to be convinced, as we only have a choice between Muslim women and Muslim women. We don't have a choice. When we go outside of the masjid, we don't have a choice to marry anybody we please. All we have the choice is for the Muslims. And those conditions among Ahlul Kitab are almost impossible, as the ones from among them, Jazakallah khair, the ones from among the Ahlul Kitab, from the Christians and the Jews that we can marry, are the chaste ones. And the Christians and Jews don't know anything nowadays, unfortunately, other than fornication and adultery. It has become the deen of Christianity and Judaism. So those aren't the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it permissible for us to marry. And this should be another encouragement for us to treat our wives kindly. I don't know how these questions popped up already, but we have to accommodate the sisters, inshallah, tonight. If a wife goes to a husband and requests some love and affection, is he supposed to something down and say maybe later? Turn her down and say maybe later? The advice, this was in the past two classes. Really the class before the last for the etiquette of the women, I forgot what they called it, making love to the women as Allah has commanded you to, any manner you like. So maybe the brother, he needs to refer to that tape to find the encouragement of his Lord to make love and affection to his wife the way Allah commanded. And just to be general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, take care of your business any way you like. And this is a beautiful language of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we can't get it after that, but what if he doesn't do anything or says anything later, then what is she supposed to do? this is why we're trying, inshallah ta'ala, tonight to encourage the men so that the sisters don't have these type of complaints. And I was just dreaming, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this dream a reality. I was dreaming that we were in Masjid Ahle Sunnah. I was dreaming we were in Masjid Ahle Sunnah, and we had a restaurant, especially for the sisters. And it had the finest stuff that the sisters like with the decorations. And that every first Jumu'ah of the month, all of the brothers treated the women. The women was just free in the Muslim restaurant in Masjid Ahle Sunnah. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us successful so that the sisters can have this, and then there won't be any complaints. And I think I had mentioned to some of the brothers before we went to Bermuda that they really hooked it up. I think it was Jumu'ah or Saturday night or whatever. This was the only night that they opened the restaurant. And on that night they had the tablecloths and the dim lights and with the candles and or whatever you have for a nice dinner. And this was to make the women of the community feel love and affection and to be an encouragement for the brothers to take care of business when they go home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Talaq, verse number 6, وَأَتَمِرُوا بَيْنَكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. And subhanAllah, I was reading this verse recently and I wish I would have used it more often. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and consult with one another in kindness, or be considerate to one another. And this is a point that's important for all of the men to take into consideration with their wives. Everything isn't cut and dry or black and white or halal and haram all the time. Some of this in marriage is called give and take and being considerate. Okay, the sister is wrong. That doesn't stop you from being right and being kind and being gentle and what have you, to make the sister realize, subhanAllah, I've wronged my husband. And that we have to start looking at this issue of being considerate to one another so that we can start to overlook some of the faults of the sister and to start being kind to her or kinder to her, even though she has the faults with her that she has, as this issue of consideration needs to be taken into consideration. That when we come home and if we're angry at our wives, we should take into consideration just what she has to go through in being a Muslim lady in the American Kafir environment. We should take into consideration all of the time. When we get mad at our wives, we should take into consideration we haven't built her a Muslim house on a Muslim block in a Muslim city, in a Muslim state, in a Muslim country, and raised her around Muslims where she can feel comfortable, but we made our wives and our daughters outcast in a Kafir society. We can't be a little more considerate, considering what we did or what we didn't do and establishing this deen for the sisters. So this should be an encouragement for us to treat our wives kindly. As this whole lecture on how to treat a Muslim lady is to treat her kindly. And all of the ayat and the hadith are basically general, just saying treat her kindly. And this is why we're saying we're going to let the brothers use their imaginations and to be creative in treating their wives kindly. Because treating kindly will vary from brother to brother. But everybody, inshallah ta'ala, should have his own way with his wife on how he treats her kindly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 229, that you keep her in kindness or you let her go in kindness. And this is another statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, no matter how it is, so long as you have that lady, there's going to be in kindness. So long as you're with her, you're in kindness. Even when you divorce her and she's in the iddah period, it's still going to be kindness. From the time you say, I want to marry her and I agree to marry her and I give her the dowry, there should be kindness with her until you die or kindness with you until you're separated. But there should always be kindness with the sister, and that there's never a time when the men should be other than kind with their wives. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the hadith of Imam Muslim, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر أو قال غيره. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام says, a believing man should never dislike a believing lady. A believing man should never dislike a believing lady. And here the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام is as if he's speaking to us in particular. as we only have the choice of the believing ladies and we see the disbelieving women. And the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is advising us not to be angry or dislike the believing lady. And how should we, when all of these kafir women we have around here, how can we not love and like our wives because they believe in the society of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And we see the women of this society, they have gone to the length of disobeying their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you think you dislike something with her, then for sure you like something else. If you think you dislike something with her, then for sure you like something else. If we ever dislike something about our wives, we should like that something else called Iman. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what else do we want from our wives outside of this beautiful belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is a man desiring a lady who's a kafir? Does he want a lady who's destined to the hellfire, who disbelieves in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, استوصوا بالنساء فإن المرأة خلقت من ضلع وإن أعوج شيء في الضلع أعلاه إن ذهبت تقيمه كسرته وإن تركته لم يزل أعوج فاستوصوا بالنساء. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, I advise you to treat the women kindly. Meaning go to all lengths to treat the women kindly. Because the lady was created from the rib. And the most crooked part of the rib is the uppermost part of the rib. And alhamdulillah, in reviewing the explanation of the ulama for this talk, I found a statement from the ulama, and he said, this shows that the most crooked thing or the biggest problem with the lady is her tongue. It's the uppermost part. So the women, if they have a problem, is going to be with using their mouth against their husband. So if you try to straighten her, you'll break her. And if you leave her alone, she remains crooked. So I advise you to go to all lengths to treat your women kindly. And another narration of Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, if you try to straighten her, you'll break her. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, لَن تَسْتَقِيمَ لَكَ عَلَى طَرِيقَةٍ, and she will never be straight for you. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, if you try to straighten her, you will break her, وَكَسْرُهَا طَلَاقُهَا, and breaking her is divorcing her. This is wisdom of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam for the men. And the women, they shouldn't feel bad except that their husbands don't treat them kindly after this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is comparing the lady to the rib and showing how crooked it is and saying the lady is like that. Not for us to say, oh you stupid crooked wife, get out of here. Or use this as a tool to be harder on the women. This is a tool for you, or this is wisdom for you to be nicer to her. You know she's crooked. And you know the most crooked part of the rib is the uppermost part, and as the ulama is saying, it's her tongue. So when the lady, and this is the problem that most of us complain about, if we say that our lady is disobedient, it means she's talking back to me. I don't like the way she talks to me. Here we're getting guidance from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. It's like that. And if you try to straighten it, you'll break her. And breaking her is divorce her. And if you leave her alone, she'll remain crooked. So treat the women kindly. You have to use your wisdom and your kindness and your manhood in order to make the women in between where you'll love them and they'll be your wives forever, inshallah ta'ala. And this is from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam advising us that the women are like this, okay, work with them. This is what the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, work with them. And the way you work with them is being kind to them. This is the way that we work with our women, is to be kind with them so that they're not too crooked, but that little bit of crooked, we're able to deal with that. And we handle that by being kind to them as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has commanded us. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, the Muslim with the most perfect iman is the one with the best character. And the best of you are the best of you to his wives. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that our iman varies from person to person. Some people are better believers than other people. All of us Muslims, we're not all the same. Some of us are better than others. And how do we know who's the best? The best of us to our wives are the best among us. The best of us to our wives are the best among us. So when we find out a brother's not treating his wife okay, then we know that that brother isn't among the best of us. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions this in one of the hadiths, and we'll see inshallah ta'ala. As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, لا تضربوا إماء الله فجاءه عمر فقال قد زائرنا النساء على أزواجهم فأذن لهم فضربوهن فطاف بآل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نساء كثير فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد طاف بآل محمد الليلة 70 امرأة كلهم كلهن يشتكين أزواجهن ولا تجد أولئكم خياركم. And this hadith, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and it's collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and it's authentic, where he said that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, do not beat the slave servants of Allah, the Muslim women. Do not hit the Muslim women. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah, but the women have gotten too bold. You're telling us not to hit them, but you don't know that the women got too bold, Ya Rasulullah, with their husbands. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay, I'll give you permission to beat them then. And then that night, many women came to the house of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, this night I had more than 70 women come to the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. All of them were complaining about their husbands. And you can imagine what they were complaining about. Every man that night had an excuse to beat his wife. When Umar came back with the news, I went to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam when he told us, don't beat the slave ladies of Allah. I went back to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, you don't know how bold the women get with their husbands. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, you can beat them then, if that's the case. And then when they complained to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet said, you will not find them, those men who beat their wives, to be the best among you. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, though we're going to see in the other hadith, where he has given the men permission to beat their wives. Of course, this is a light beating if the women are too bold with their husbands. If you have to go to that length, then you're not from among the best Muslim men. Because the better Muslim men, they don't beat their wives. Even if their wives are out of place, they know how to give a good exhortation to their wives. They know how to advise their wives to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know how to bring that fear, and the lady is a Muslim lady. You don't have to go but so far to have her fear Allah. She already left kufr. The women, our wives, alhamdulillah, they left the kufr of this society. Why did they leave the kufr of this society? Because they love Allah and His Messenger. And then, it should be easy for us to convince them if they go out of bounds, to get back in bounds because they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the good or the better men amongst the men, they never have to resort to beating their wives. Because all they have to do is advise them properly for their wives to come back. And this is a challenge for the men. To see who can be the best men among the Muslims. Where they never have to beat their wives lightly. That it's always enough to call them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be sufficient. So we should start looking at ourselves and seeing if we have to resort to beating our wives. The first excuse we're going to say is the women got too bold. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was aware of that. And he said they're not the best among us. So if you feel you have to go that far, then you know when you look at the brother, say, man, I'm among the worst brothers with my weak iman. Because I have to resort to beating my wife, and the strong Muslims, all they have to use is just to fear Allah. And to say it in a way that will make her fear Allah. Because she has some fear of Allah. She has some fear of Allah. Our wives, alhamdulillah, they make salah, and they fast, and they pay zakat. And many of them have made hajj. and Umrah. So we just have to advise them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sister sent a note up and said, can you talk to the brothers about threatening to divorce their wives left and right? Allahu Akbar. This is the weak rap of the brothers. This is when a brother, when his rap is weak, astaghfirullah. When he can't handle his wife properly, all he has is to say, I'll divorce you if you don't act right. She said, man, shut up, you can divorce me anyway. And you know the case when the man is just threatening his wife with divorce, it don't mean nothing to the sister. Because she know his rap is weak. Because if it was strong, he would be advising her to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would be looking at himself. And he would be combating her foolishness with kind treatment. Until the lady turns to obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he's happy with her. So this statement, this is from the brothers who are weak. And they should go to some of the brothers, as we have, alhamdulillah, amongst us brothers who have been married for 20 years and more. Some of the brothers, maybe we need to go around to those brothers who have these years on their marriage and tell them, how did you find it so easy to practice the Qur'an and the Sunnah? How did you find it so easy to practice the Qur'an and the Sunnah? Because nobody remained with his wife this long except he knows how to practice the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us the women are crooked. Now what you going to do to keep her as your wife and to be happy with her? Except using kind treatment. So I hope that we take this as some advice to go to some of the brothers who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them successful in being obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and to remain married for years. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he was questioned, مَا حَقُّ الْمَرْأَةِ عَلَى زَوْجِهَا قَالَ تُطْعِمُهَا إِذَا طَعِمْتَ وَتَكْسُوهَا إِذَا اكْتَسِيتَ وَلَا تَضْرِبِ الْوَجْهِ وَلَا تُقَبَّحْ وَلَا تَهْجُرُ إِلَّا فِي الْبَيْتِ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and a Tirmid and Ibn Majah, and it's authentic. Where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned, what is the right that the lady has over her husband? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that you feed her when you feed yourself, and that you clothe her when you clothe yourself, and that you don't hit her in the face, and that you don't speak bad to her. And that you don't speak bad to her. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in this word, la tuqabbih, you don't say anything that makes the sister feel bad. And you don't boycott her or stay away from her except in the house. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's showing us this is the right that the women have. That we feed them like we feed ourselves. We don't go out to the restaurant and eat steak every night and then come home and make our wives cook hot dogs for her and say, you know, sister, time is hard. Man out here working, taking care of business, subhanAllah, you know, rash of our belly, right? No, the husband, he has to provide, feed the lady like he feeds himself. And the same thing with the clothing. The men shouldn't use excuses like, well, you know, I got to work, and you know, when I go out, I have to look nice, and you're in the house all the time, you don't need nothing. Astaghfirullah. The man, he should take care of his wife and clothe her the way he clothes himself. And that he shouldn't hit her in the face. Even if he hits her lightly. He shouldn't hit her in the face at all. Not even lightly, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam says. And he shouldn't speak bad to her. And this was the easiest way I can translate it. But you know how the brothers, like the sisters, complaining. Tell the brothers to stop using, threatening them with divorce. This is a bad statement. Any bad statement, the brothers have to stay away from it. And what's a shame is that the brothers, astaghfirullah, that we make these statements to our wives and we don't even seek forgiveness. We just keep thinking we have the excuse that the sister was too bold with us. So here we are walking around with all of these sins. And then we question, what about the other brother who dies on sins? Is he still a Muslim or not? All these sins we be gathering up ourselves, and we might die on it without seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness, because we think it's easy to just tell her, shut up. I said I don't want you saying nothing. Obey your husband. And you know how the sister might feel if we just come in and she was smiling and we just go off on her like that. And then we feel justified or something. That, well, I came in the house and my food wasn't ready, or whatever excuse we make. And then we don't even say astaghfirullah. And this is very dangerous, and this is why the ulama used to say that the people of bid'ah won't be forgiven. Why? Because they'll never seek forgiveness. Because their bid'ah, they think is good. And so long as they think it's good, they'll never repent. And we see the people of bid'ah, and they keep going. You say, Akhi, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek his forgiveness. Come back to the truth. And he just smiles. And he takes it so easy. And he continues in his bid'ah. And he'll never seek forgiveness. And how can he be forgiven if he doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness? And this is the same thing in this case of treating our wives kindly. Sometimes we don't treat them kindly, but we don't say astaghfirullah. Because we think we're over. I came in the house and I told the sister, where's my food? She said, who are you? And then from there, we just went on. And you know how the sisters can get, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and showing us that they're made from the rib. And the crookedest part is the uppermost part, that tongue. Alright, it can happen. But we still have to seek forgiveness if we're unkind to our wives. Otherwise, we might just be walking around building up the sins and not even seeking forgiveness from them. Wa astaghfirullah. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, كل ما صنعت إلى أهلك فهو صدقة عليهم. And this is collected by Imam al-Nasai. And Imam al-Nasai has a book, and I quoted from it before, and I'm taking some of this hadith from this book, قال عشرة النساء. Imam al-Nasai رحمه الله has a book called the Sunan al-Nasai, which we have made a part of our Tuesday night class. He also has a book, عشرة النساء, How to Live with Women. And he just has hundreds of hadith on how to treat the women. I know it's too much for us to quote all of those hadith, and in some of the previous lectures I've quoted more than I'm using tonight. But he mentions the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam like this one: anything you do for your wife is sadaqah. Anything you do for your wife is sadaqah. And this is for us Muslims who are a little on the poorer side, that anything we do, help her put her clothes on, help her cook, anything we do for her is sadaqah. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's encouraging the men to do good for their wives. As we complain that we don't have enough money to give sadaqah, then why are we breaking our necks to be more than kind to our wives so we can give some charity? And this is how we should look around the first of the month or whatever, when we have to pay all of these bills and we don't have much money left over, then we gotta just jump on being kind to our wives and constantly doing things for our wives so that we can make up for the sadaqah that we're not giving fi sabilillah. And this is an encouragement for the man to be kind to his wife. Think about everything you do for your wife is sadaqah. Everything you do for your wife is sadaqah. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has given an example showing us how small you can do something for your wife and have that as sadaqah. In the hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, he said, إِنَّكَ إِن شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ حتى لقمة ترفعها إلى في امرأتك. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, indeed, you will not give some charity, inshallah, except that you will be rewarded to it. So much so that even a piece of food, if you were to raise it up to your wife's mouth to have her eat it, that will be sadaqah. And you will be rewarded for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can imagine, you just place the fork over there for your wife to eat. Or you just pick up the food and you put it to her mouth, just so she can eat from your blessed fingers. But I hope we get the point that sometimes, really, we think that we're too good, you know, for our wives, astaghfirullah, and our wives deserve more. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam here is showing us, never underestimate the small thing that you do. Maybe your wife is going to iron your clothes. You hurry up and plug the iron in for your wife and pull out the ironing board. Not as a hint to help her. Astaghfirullah. You know how the brothers can do it. Put out the ironing and your wife comes out the room and say, "You got to iron something?" And he says, "No." You know, trying to give her the hint. No, this is, if you know, if your wife is saying, "You want to wear that such and such a robe today? Okay, let me go iron it." Alright, before she jumps up to get it out, you hurry up and beat her to the iron and the ironing board and set it up for her. This kindness, this is sadaqah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us for it. So now the brothers, they have to look at every chance they could to be kind to their wives in order to gain that sadaqah that they can be rewarded for in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he went even farther to say that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't leave nothing out. As he says, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقًا قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَتُهُ وَيُؤْجَرُ قَالَ نَعَمْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَا وَضَعَهَا فِي حَرَامٍ. And to the end of this hadith where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, even in having intercourse with your wives is a sadaqah. And they say, "Ya Rasulullah, a man is going to fulfill his desires and be rewarded?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." "Ya Rasulullah, we're going to take care of business like that and be rewarded?" And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Yes. Don't you see if you did it in the haram, you'll be punished? So if you do it in the halal, you're going to be rewarded." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous to us. And this is an encouragement for the brothers to be kind to their wives, as all of this is sadaqah in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And maybe this is why the poor people, they have more children, because this is the way that they can give the sadaqah. So nobody should think that there's no way to give sadaqah, because kind treatment to our wives is sadaqah. Everything that we do for our wives is sadaqah. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in this next hadith from Imam al-Tirmidhi, "Istawsu bil-nisa'i khayran, fa'innahunna awanun indakum laysa tamlikuna minhunna shay'a ghayra dhalik, illa an ya'tina bifahishatin mubayyina, fa'in fa'alna fahduruhunna fil madaji' wadribuhunna darban ghayra mubarrih, fa'in ata'nakum fala tabghu 'alayhinna sabila. ألا إن لكم من نسائكم حقا ولنسائكم عليكم حق حقا فأما حقكم علي على نسائكم فلا يطعن فرشكم من تكرهون ولا يأذن في بيوتكم لمن تكرهون ألا وحقهن عليكم أن تحسنوا إليهن في كسوتهن وطعامهن." And this is collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and it's authentic. Where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "I advise you to treat the women kindly, because they are like," we have to pay close attention to this, inshallah, "because they are like slaves with you, except that you don't own them." And here on the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing how much the women have been placed in our care, showing the extreme responsibility of taking care of your women, except that they commit an abominable deed. And then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, then stay away from having intercourse with them. And then beat them lightly. And if they obey you, then don't transgress the bounds. If your women obey you afterwards, then don't transgress the bounds. I'm telling you that your women, that you have rights over your women, and that your women have rights over you. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, I'm telling you that you have rights over your women, and your women have rights over you. As far as your rights over your women, that is that they don't let anyone into your houses that you don't like. And as for their rights over you, that you treat them kindly take care of them concerning the clothing and feeding them. Here's the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith, and from the other hadith, and from the ayah that Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is just telling us over and over and over in all of the different ways to treat your women kindly. And that anything other than kind treatment isn't the way to treat a Muslim lady. Any way other than kind treatment isn't the way to treat a Muslim lady. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, He has given us some examples. And I'll just take this one example as we're ending up inshallah ta'ala. How to treat your wife kindly, as he says alayhi salatu wasalam, كل شيء ليس فيه ذكر الله فهو له ولعب إلا أربع ملاعبة الرجل امرأته وتأديب الرجل فرسه ومشيه بين الغربين وتعليم الرجل السباحة. And this is collected by Imam al-Nasai, and it's authentic inshallah ta'ala, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, everything that does not have the mentioning of Allah, the remembrance of Allah in it, then it's a waste of time, useless and of no benefit, except four things. And these four things, if you don't remember Allah, you're still okay. A man playing with his wife. If you play with your wife, even if you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're okay. And we had mentioned just last night, I think, the example where the man came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I think we have become munafiq. When we're with you, we want to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do right. And then when we go home with our families, we just want to have a nice time. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam let him know that there was no problem with that. And here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that a man playing with his wife, there's a time for it, and he can let everything else go. And just to have fun with his wife. And that this is okay in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is not considered useless and of no benefit, this type of play and having fun. And then the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he also added a man grooming his horse and walking between shooting and going to pick up the arrows, and a man learning swimming. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and this hadith gave an example. And then maybe we know some of the other examples, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to race some of his wives alayhi salatu wasalam, and whatever he used to do. And then all of us, we're the men, we have to take out of our imaginations what we could to be creative and having fun with our wives and showing our love and our affection to the wives. Not that Islam is going to detail everything. Okay, if you take her to the amusement park, then this is having fun. Okay, if you do this, then this is having fun. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam left it open. Treat your wives kindly. Have some fun with your wives. And any way you want to, then it's okay. And we'll end this off with the advice of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, عليكم بالكيس الكيس. Or it might be عليكم بالكيس الكيس. As the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he says, I advise you to have intercourse with them. I advise you to have intercourse with them. This is advice from the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, and this is part of kind treatment to the wives. Just go home and make love to them. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.